Please do be seated. We live in incredibly difficult times. And I was trying to think of a word which expresses what's going on. I mean, I think a lot of people are very fearful at the moment. Fearful for a whole range of different reasons. There's fear over the future of our country, because nobody knows what Brexit means, let alone how it's going to affect our country. Nobody knows. I see Archbishop Justin Welby was calling for some kind of commission to be brought together to try and steer our way through this frightful mess. We don't know what kind of government we're going to have from one day to the next. Good national leaders seem in short supply, do they not? And I was thinking about poor Tim Farron this week, who's nothing to do with his political views, but he's been hounded out of his political leadership. I think he's probably the most committed Christian political leader we've had, in my memory. He's been hounded out of his office for holding views which frankly are the views of the majority of Christians in the world. Not so far adrift from the official position of the Church of England. He has been absolutely just hounded out of office. And the archbishops have rightly said it calls into question whether anyone now with Christian views can be in high political office. And it's very, very interesting. And who knows where that's going to lead. Then you look at the terrible mess we've had with terrorist attacks and the attack on those poor people coming out of a mosque. Then we witness the most horrific human suffering in the terrible problems with this fire in this tower block. And, I mean, just unimaginable. I mean, unimaginable to be in your flat for hours watching people down below while smoke is billowing out and then eventually to be burned alive. It's just unimaginable. And you can't imagine it can happen in this country. And then you see the people now being made homeless because they live in similar sorts of conditions. And then I was reading the report into the failure of the Church of England to deal with the sexual and abusive and predatory practices of the Bishop Peter Ball. 80 pages of damning indictment of the church, damning. And the failure of the church to deal with that abuse, which led to a 17-year-old victim, Neil Todd, eventually taking his own life. What? I mean, it's damaged the reputation of two archbishops. It's led to one of them having to lose his public ministry. And when you read through the files, when you read through the 80 pages, you get the impression of a leadership that is just rotten to the core. Just rotten. And no wonder why the archbishop has said to Kerry, you know, you've got to go. I mean, no choice, really. And there's a very telling phrase in that report, a very telling phrase. It says about the Church of England looking at itself. It's damaged its collective sense of self as a just and compassionate body. It's damaged the collective sense of itself as a just and compassionate body. And what that's saying is that we're losing confidence in ourselves. That's what it's saying. And I think that's true for the church over those incidents. I think it's true for a lot of our national life at the moment. These things often go together. So we are at a very low ebb. We are at a very low ebb. And you know, you go up, well, you hope so. And then you have the words of Jesus in our passage today. And Jesus starts by saying something which will, first of all, come as a great encouragement to those who've been victims of abuse. Jesus says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. And I thought to myself, that phrase should have gone on the front of that report. Because I'm sure those victims of abuse, the one thing they want is to be validated and know that people understand what they went through and they were telling the truth. That's the one thing that victims of abuse want to know. And that's something denied them even now by this dishonoured Bishop Peter Ball, because even now he will not admit his crimes. Even now he will not say sorry. There's no forgiveness because you can't say sorry. Doesn't ask for forgiveness, not seeking forgiveness, doesn't acknowledge it. Absolutely scandalous. And Jesus gives those important words, and I think they're very, 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 very important for us to hear. You know, things will be revealed. There's a judgment. There's a judgment. But then Jesus goes on to speak some words of encouragement. And And from now on, I think the sermon hopefully will be a bit more hopeful and encouraging. Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." When Matthew recorded those words in his gospel, Christians were being taken and put to death for their faith. They must have felt an incredible fear. And they must have been faced with that lack of confidence as well. And Matthew knew that. And that's why he put these words in his gospel. That's why he encouraged the people who were going to read his gospel not to be afraid, not to be ashamed of their faith, and to be willing to go out and speak it with the confidence that we're lacking at the moment. The church was facing an incredibly difficult time. And it's interesting that when the church faces difficult times, the church grows in those times. And I was yesterday. I was in St Albans for the pilgrimage. It was great to see St Albans just shut down. All the pilgrims were walking through the streets in a very bold and larger than life procession, proclaiming their faith and remembering Alban, who also 1,700 years ago, when faith was unlawful in this country, who was dragged before the magistrates and said, "You know, you've been hiding a priest," and he said, "Yes, and I serve the true and living God." And you can chop the head off and do what you like. But I serve the true and living God. He had that confidence. And like all the other martyrs, their blood became the seed of the church. And the church grew from that. And you know, we like Alban must be unashamed to say that we worship and adore the true and living God who created all things. And I'm pleased that very soon the Abbey will have a wonderful visitor centre. We've raised millions of pounds to pay for this, and it's going to be a fantastic thing. Go and see it when it's built. A new visitor centre which will just pay tribute to Britain's first saint and martyr, Alban. But Jesus tells his followers, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. Jesus tells his followers not to be afraid because bad things aren't going to happen, because they are, but not to be afraid in spite of the bad things that happen. No, we don't have a faith which is immune from the difficulties and dangers of life. We don't. And, you know, we serve a man who was crucified, and our main celebration is in bread and wine when we remember somebody who gave his life, whose life ended in death. And the bread and wine reminds us that we have a God who suffers with us as we go through those times. In Psalm 56, there's a wonderful phrase where the psalmist reflects on the pain and the suffering that he's going through. And he sees all his foes all around him. If you can read, it's only a few verses, Psalm 56. Have a read of it. It's really, really good. And I'd like to, you know, if he's listening, I'd like to recommend this to Tim Farron. Because there's a wonderful phrase in it. Because he looks around and he says that his enemies are hounding him. And he goes on, "They're always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me." And then the psalmist goes on. He says, in spite of this, he'll trust God and he'll put faith in God in spite of all that's going wrong. And he uses this beautiful phrase. The psalmist says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." And what the psalmist is saying is that don't think that your tears go unnoticed. When people are being horrible to you and things are really just awful, don't think that God doesn't care, because God does. God knows each tear that we cry. Tears we weep are not lost, they're not forgotten. God holds them in his memory, holds them in his heart, and he collects them in his bottle. Beautiful phrase. As Christians, we have very few answers in the face of what's going on in our own church, let alone in the world around us. But we do know where God is in all of this. God's right in the middle of it, suffering with us, just as his son suffered on the cross with us, just as God stores up tears in a bottle. And as I reflect on us as Christians, as the church collectively, the message which I think this passage brings to us today is one of have confidence and do not be afraid. And that's what we lack at the moment, this confidence, as we see, you know, numbers across the church in our own country, numbers of Christians exploding across the world, but in our own country, the church under attack in so many different ways. Have confidence. Jesus tells his followers, go out and speak and witness to me fearlessly. That's what he says in this passage. Go out and witness and speak about me fearlessly. And don't worry what you people around you are going to say or think. Do not be silent, but boldly proclaim your faith. Jesus says this, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Fear not men who can only kill the body. That's all they can do to you. That's the very worst they can do to you. Chop off your head. Now, it's unlikely to happen in this time. It's unlikely to happen. It happened to Alban. Chopped off his head. Literally. But that's the worst that can happen. Jesus is saying, get it in perspective. Get it in perspective. You know, in chapter 5 of his rule, St. Benedict told the monks, yearn for everlasting life with holy desire. Day by day, remind yourself that you are going to die. Hour by hour, keep careful watch over you do, aware that God's gaze is upon you wherever you may be. And what St. Benedict is doing, he's saying, look, just get in perspective, you're going to die. It doesn't last forever. And you know, in 10 minutes, you'll be forgotten. So, you know, just get things into perspective. Get things into perspective. What really matters is what God thinks of you, not what that lot think of you, what God thinks of you. So proclaim my words fearlessly. Do not be afraid. All they can touch is your body. That's all they can do. It was meant to be a real encouragement. And it was a truth that's understood by Alban and St. Stephen, the first martyr, and all those whose blood has become the seed of the church. They knew and understood that there was nothing which was out of God's control. God was over all things. And when Jesus says, you know, he even knows the number of hairs on your head. I'm told that there are about 100,000 hairs on the average head. Some people have a lot more. Some people have a lot less. God knows how many you've lost. God knows how many you've lost. He shares your pain. God knows. God is in control. And what the church needs in the presence of the troubles that we face as a nation, as we face all those troubles in a world where Christians face lots of opposition, a secular world, what we need to know is this confidence that God is with us through it and in it. And we must witness unashamedly. And hasn't it been absolutely magnificent to see that in the midst of all the chaos in London and councils who don't seem to be able to do, I can't understand the failure of the councils to do the most basic stuff. But in the midst of all that chaos, what has happened is that in deed and word, the churches have been powerful witnesses who have been at the forefront of working in those communities in London to look after the victims. It's the churches. And time again, you get people on the television, families coming forward saying, the churches have been there for us. And how wonderful that has been. See the church stepping up when other people, when there's been a vacuum left by others. And there's another thing which, I'm nearly finished. There's another thing in this passage which Jesus tells us. And he says this, he says that we should never be frightened of being attacked, because he was attacked. So he knows all about this. And the words Jesus uses are these, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? And if you think about it, that's a wonderful phrase. How much more the members of his household? We are part of God's household. We are part of God's household. There's a poem that you've probably read called Desiderata, a poem written by Max Ehrman in 1927. You know, it go placidly amidst the noise and haste. It's an interesting poem. Desiderata is Latin for desired things. And you may remember the version by Leonard Spock of Star Trek. Do you remember? I do. The closing lines of the poem. It's full of platitudes and what have you. The worst bit for me about this poem, and one that I've always found intriguing, is it says this: "You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here." It's an interesting one to reflect on that. When you listen to the words of Jesus, he says that we're not like the created order at all. Not at all. Not like the trees and stars. Not at all. We're members of God's household. We're not like the things that he's created. You are incredibly special to God. He knows how many hairs there are on your head. God values and knows you. Things might be tough. The Christian has to be prepared for all kinds of conflict. And in that conflict, the most important thing that we can know, even, you know, and Jesus is saying, even if your own family falls away, the most important thing in your life, even if the most important thing in your life, your own family falls away, I will not fall away because you are part of my household. So this is not a meaningless, random universe. We're not just highly developed animals. There's a God who made us and loves us intimately, involved in everything that we do, values us. You're of such value, you are of such value to our compassionate God that he counts the hairs on your head and he stores your tears in a bottle. God doesn't just know us, but we're part of his family. And even if your own natural family doesn't like you, or you don't like them, you belong to God's family, for all eternity. Amen. And now let's stand to sing together our next hymn. And it's a beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace.